We haven't met yet. My name is Chris, and I'm one of the staff pastors here at Highlight Church. And hey, just I want to give honor to our lead pastors, Joshua and Kai Redding. Can we give them a round of applause real quick? Man, I love every time they give me the opportunity to share something with you guys. It is such an honor and a privilege. So I'm glad to be with you guys. And online family, we're glad that you are with us as well this morning. Thank you guys so much for tuning in online. I hope to see you in person next Sunday. I love you guys. But hey, I want to talk about real quick Highlight Easter weekend. Who enjoyed Highlight Easter weekend? Wow, it was so powerful. I got some stats I want to share with you. Our drummer has taken a seat, so no drum rolls this morning. So we'll have to do it on our legs today. Drum roll, please. Good Friday. We had 453 people in person across two services. 11 salvations. Man. That's so powerful. 11 people taking their next step. How about this one? Drum roll. Highlight Easter. 939 people across four services. 36 salvations. That's just under 50 salvations. 1,400 people in person. That's phenomenal. Why does that get us excited? Because every single one of those people is a soul. Every single one of those people is someone that God wanted to touch, that Jesus wanted to minister to. And it's a privilege, it's an honor that we were able to see that many people across Highlight Easter weekend so that we could share the gospel with them so that they could find true life. 50 South, come on, church, let's celebrate one more time. Highlight Easter weekend. Such an amazing, amazing thing. It was amazing seeing this building filled with you and your friends and your family and so many people eager to take their next steps in the Lord. It's such an amazing thing. And that's really what the heart of today's message is going to be all about. It's about taking your next step. You know, I've heard this question so many times in my life and honestly in so many different ways. You've probably asked this question before. The question of today's message is, what is God's plan for my life? What is God's plan for my life? Just a quick show of hands here. Have you asked that question before? What is God's plan for my life? I know a lot of us are. Online family, I'm sure you've asked that question too. It's funny because if I'm being honest, I've asked that question in my life tons of times. In so many different seasons, I've always wondered, God, what have you given me? What is my purpose on this earth? What is the plan that you have for my life? And just kind of looking back as I was preparing for this message, there was one moment, one story that really like took the cake, stood out. It was the first thing that came to mind. And it's funny that I remembered this. But I remember I was driving down Highway 50. If you're from Florida, you'll know where that is. As we headed into Orlando, my mom was driving and she just looked over. I was probably 17 or 18 years old, and she just asked me this question. She goes, Chris, what are you going to do with your life? What do you want to do? And I was like, dang, Mom, you getting straight to it. And just kind of thinking back on that moment, I had some college credits. I didn't have a full-time job. I wasn't necessarily looking for new opportunities. I don't want to say I was stuck in that season, but I definitely wasn't like moving forward in any which direction. I just was kind of where I was. And I don't feel like I necessarily needed a change in that season, but I also kind of knew that I needed to figure out what my next step was going to be, what direction that I needed to head in. And I remember telling her with such confidence, like, this is like young, immature Chris. This is pure like teenager lack of humility. I was like, I don't know, but it'll all work out. I'm sure a lot of you are thinking that in this season. I don't know what my next step is, but it'll work out. And that's fine. But it's funny because I look back at it now and it did, in fact, all work out. I'm standing here today knowing that. But what I can say, we can clap that. But what I did know is that I wasted a lot of time. I wasted a lot of money. I wasted a lot of energy not knowing what direction I needed to head in. And matter of fact, I wasted a lot of time not being able to make the right decisions in life. And it wasn't that I didn't know how to make the right decisions. I just wasn't rooted in a healthy place to help me point me in the right direction. And I'll tell you what, I was not, man, I was not seeking God's plan for my life at all in that season. It was all about me and what I wanted to do. I think the truth is, no matter how old you are or young that you are, no matter what your current situation looks like, no matter your job occupation, your family situation, your financial situation, we all have had a what's next or am I doing the right thing thought cross our minds. Yeah. If we're being honest with ourselves, we've all had that moment where we're wondering, man, am I heading in the right direction? Is this what I'm supposed to do? I believe that's the case because deep down, if we get to the root of our being, it's this point. Our soul longs to be in right standing with the Father, to be walking out the plan that God has for our lives. I just believe that a lot of us, we want to know what that plan is, or if not, we've been shown it, but we have trouble deciphering it or deciding kind of, is this from God or is this from me? But our soul, if we're being honest with ourselves, our soul longs to be in right standing with the Father, to live out the God-given plan, the purpose that God has for our lives. And so today I want to bring you a message that hopefully just doesn't bless you, but also answers that age-old question. If you're taking notes today, the title of today's message is God's Plan Now. God's plan now. We're going to be reading in Jeremiah 29, 1 through 11 this morning. And it's funny because I know a lot of y'all heard Jeremiah, you heard 29, you heard 11. You missed the 1 through 11. You missed the first 10 verses. You just heard Jeremiah 29, 11. And you were like, yes, Lord, for I know the plans I have for you. Jada, 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 jada. You started mumbling it because it's your favorite verse. It's your life verse. A lot of people's favorite verse is Jeremiah 29, 11. I bet you if someone in this room, they probably have it on their Bible, right? A notebook, they have a mug with it, maybe a shirt. If it's not here today, it's definitely somewhere at home. Maybe it's on a frame by your coffee maker in your home kitchen. I just know that Jeremiah 29:11, it's such a popular verse. It's great. I love it. But there's a lot of context that we miss if we just focus on 11. There's 1 through 10 that we got to focus on. And even earlier in that, Jeremiah 25. If you don't know about this story, Jeremiah 25, Jeremiah was prophesying what God had shown him to the people of Israel. He told the Israelites that Babylon was going to conquer Judah. Now, in this time, Israel was separated into two states. There is the northern Israel, which was just called Israel, and then there was the southern, which was Judah. This was before they remerged and came one state again. And so God was telling the people that they were going to be conquered. Flash forward to our text today. The Israelites are currently slaves. They're living in captivity in Babylon. And if I'm being honest, this is not at all what any of them were hoping for. Right. It's not at all what their plans or what their thoughts for their life was going to look like. This was the second time that all of Israel was going to be enslaved in the Bible. We see it first in Egypt. Now here we are in Babylon. I just know that they were disappointed. They were discouraged. They did not expect for themselves to be living in a life of slavery. But what I love in Jeremiah 29 is he's speaking to the Israelites some instructions, but most importantly, some encouragement to get them through it. If you can, if you have your Bible, let's turn to Jeremiah 29. If not, we got some big ones on the screen for you. Jeremiah 29, 1 through 11. It says this, Jeremiah wrote a letter from Jerusalem to the elders, the priests, the prophets, and all the people who had been exiled to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I just want to, just a quick side note. If you don't know how to say all the names, don't worry about it. You fake it till you make it. There's a lot right off the bat. Here we go. This was after King Jehoiakim, the queen mother, the court officials, the other officials of Judah, and the craftsmen and artisans had been deported from Jerusalem. So at this point, everyone who was in Jerusalem was now brought into captivity in Babylon. He sent this letter with Elisha, son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, when they went to Babylon as King Zedekiah, ambassadors to Nebuchadnezzar. We made it through. This is what Jeremiah's letter said. No more big names. And you know what's funny? I think back on that. They thought those names were beautiful. Here we go. Verse 4. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says to all the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food that they produce. Marry and have children. then find spouses for them so that you may have many grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away, and work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. This is what the Lords of Heaven's Armies, the God of Israel, says. He keeps titling himself because he's trying to command them to listen. Yeah. Heed this warning. Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams, because they are telling you lies in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. What I want to do this morning is I want to highlight three instructions that will help you live out God's plan for your life. And we're going to see this from the text. If you're wanting to know what God's plan for your life is, it starts with this step. Number one, build where you are. You have to build where you are. Someone look to your neighbor and say, build where you are. Build where you are. You know, I remember when I first accepted this great call from Pastor Joshua Redding to help build this big vision that God had placed on his heart, this Highlight Church vision. But if I could be honest, what I didn't realize at the time was that it was going to take me thousands of miles away from everything I knew in Florida. I was born and raised in Orlando, Florida, and I was being called to step into a land that I had never been to. To be honest with you, I didn't even know where Maryland was on a map if you had asked me. Zero idea. It's so small. Like, when you look at the big map, it's the line and it says Maryland. Like, you don't even have it over the state. That's how teeny it is. Had no idea. It was completely outside of everything I was used to, completely outside of my comfort zone. And it's funny because when I look back, I wanted out of Florida. Florida's hot. And coming from there, there's really not a lot to do. You may think that I'm full of myself, but no, I'm being honest. Like, there's not a lot in Florida outside of Florida. I was looking for something new. Maryland was exciting. I mean, you get the snow. And that, we didn't get that in Florida. But if I could be honest with you, exactly. If I could be honest with you, if I look back on it, it did feel just a little bit like exile. Just a little bit. It was because it was outside of my comfort zone. It was outside of everything that I knew. And I want to encourage you, you may not have taken this big step of faith like I did in my life, and that's okay. Not all of us would or would have the opportunity to. But I do believe if you take a moment and you look at your current situation, you could probably relate to this line of thinking just a little bit. God, this isn't what I thought it would be. God, this isn't what I envisioned for my life to look like right now. God, this can't be what I'm supposed to be doing for the rest of my life. Quick show of hands, who have thought that before? Yeah, our whole room, online family, I know you're raising your hand too. We've all thought it. It's part of life. But I think there's a key that we can find here in the text that I think is going to help us realign our thoughts, our perspective to God's. It starts this, Jeremiah 29, 5 through 7. It says, build homes and plan to stay. Plant gardens and eat the food they produced. Marry and have children, then find spouses for them so that you may have grandchildren. Multiply, do not dwindle away. And work for the peace and the prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray for the peace and prosperity of Babylon. Wow. How about this one? Pray for the peace and prosperity of Gaithersburg. Mm. Let's go. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare. I want to let you in on a little secret. This key to growth, the key to unlocking the plan of God for your life, it comes down to two things, your mindset and your heart towards what he's called you to. Yes, sir. your mindset and your heart posture about where you are right now. Looking back on the early days of Highlight Church, our team recognized that God had called us to Maryland, that there was a purpose behind every growing pain that we went through, and the early navigation and the struggles of navigating this land, and honestly, how it was three times more expensive than what we were used to in Florida. So all of us accumulated some debt along the way. Marilyn, you be expensive.
Talk about it.
But what we knew, man, catch this. What we knew was that if we pressed into it and we built in this land, that our blessing would follow. Our blessing would come. I want to encourage you. You may not be where you want to be right now. It may not make sense.
Yes, come on.
It may not be what you thought it would be. But God's called you to it. Let's apply it to what's happening here at Highlight Church. Let's just take a moment. For some of you, that's committed to being rooted here at Highlight. To accept that God has called you here for a season, a reason. It may not make sense to you, but man, it does to Him. Maybe for some of you, it's getting rooted and plugging into a light group, not getting this the surface value of what Highlight has to offer, not living like an exile here within our doors, but becoming a part of our community by meeting new people, building relationships. Maybe it's time for you to build, to make a difference by becoming a superhero here at Highlight Church, not just receiving, but also building by planting, by growing roots. I'm telling you, the welfare of Highlight Church, it's going to determine your welfare. We have an opportunity to build the kingdom of God together. Won't you join us in that? Here's the key takeaway. If you're writing notes, write this down. It's not what you thought it would look like, but it's where God has called you. You may not feel at home right now, but man, I'm telling you, once you get involved, when you start to build, you start to plant, you start to multiply a place, a city, a church that you didn't think you'd be in, man, it starts to feel like home. And I'm telling you, its welfare will determine your welfare. When our church is blessed, you're blessed. When your workplace is blessed, you're blessed. When your family is blessed, you're blessed. What you pour into something is what you get out of it. What is God telling the Israelites? You need to build where you are. And it may not make sense. I guarantee you it didn't to them. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine." So what's God's plan for you right now? To build where you are. It may not make sense, and that's okay. Before we jump into point number two, let's dive back in the text. Jeremiah 29, 8 through 10. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. "Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams. Because they are not telling you the truth. They are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." This is what the Lord says. "You will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then," man, I love that, "but then, I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. I will bring you home again." What's the second thing that God is trying to show us this morning? That we need to, number two, remain steadfast. Steadfast. Let me define that for you, because I'm sure some of us, we don't necessarily know what the word steadfast means. So I got a definition for you. Steadfast means firmly fixed in place, immovable. Another definition, if you want to write this one down, it's firm in belief, unwavering. What I love about belief is even when you don't see it, you just believe it. It's unwavering. I think if we were to boil down those three verses from Jeremiah, it all comes down to one word, one thought, steadfast. What I love about the text is Jeremiah's warning to the people of Israel is to not waver, to not give up, to not listen to the others. You see, in this time of captivity, these false prophets were going around claiming that God was going to release his people sooner than the 70 years that God himself said. That it wasn't going to take 70 years. In fact, that there is greater around the corner. And you know what this was supposed to do? It was designed to be a distraction. And if we could all be honest, it was working. The Israelites believed it. But God told them they'd have to wait 70 years. But they didn't want to listen. Because if you didn't know this, 70 years in captivity and slavery, that's not good news. That's bad news. If any one of us was told that we would have to be a slave for 70 years, and then someone came around saying, look, the Lord told me it would only be five, we'd be like, yes, Lord.
Right.
But God didn't say that.
No.
He said 70 years in captivity. That was the message. Most of them hearing that were recognizing that, man, I'd be dead before I ever saw freedom again. If I ever saw what I wanted for my life. They were submitted 70 years captivity. But let's not be discouraged. Let's remember what God had just told us. To build where you are. God is telling them to build where they are, but most importantly, to remain steadfast. Why? Because there's a lesson that he's trying to teach us. There's a lesson that he wants to show them. A deeper truth that he's trying to reveal to us through this text. God doesn't promise it will be easy. He promises it will be for our good. 70 years of captivity, that ain't easy. But what he's saying is it will be for your good. Yeah. Why? Because if you submit to the process, you're going to come out stronger.
Yes.
I think the temptation for a lot of us in life is to uproot when things get hard. To run the other direction when we are faced with any sort of adversity or struggle. And if I could be honest, you're going to experience hard times here. I promise you, you will, because it's part of the human experience. You're going to have to come face to face with your past pain. You're going to have to come face to face with your past problems. You're going to have to come face to face with what you're currently going through. You're going to be rubbed the wrong way. I promise you this, someone is going to say something that offends you. If I haven't already, it's going to happen sometime here at Highlight. Why? Because it's part of the human experience. But why does it happen? Why does God allow it? Because he uses it to grow us. He uses it to make us stronger. He uses it to make us wiser. He uses us to make us better. Come on, church, he's doing it for your good. It may not feel like it, but that's what the text says. Don't you see it? Let's read it again. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon, the tough thing, for 70 years. But then... Somebody say, but then. I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. I will bring you home again. His blessing does not come until after a season of faithfulness. And let me tell you, it's not going to be easy, but it will be for your good.
Yes.
Here's a quick side thought that I want you to hold on to. God won't remove you from a season until the reason he's placed you there is fulfilled. God will not remove you from a season, come on, church, until the reason he has placed you there is fulfilled.
That's right.
It may not feel good, but it's what God is trying to tell us. I pray that you receive it. He's not going to just do some new thing in our life if we're not willing to submit to doing the same thing he's placed before us faithfully, to remain rooted and work our current situation. What is God saying? If you remain faithful in it, I will get you through it. It won't come up. If you remain faithful in it, God himself will get you through it. It's not always meant to be easy. It's not always meant to be fun. It's not always going to be what you pictured. It's not always what you prefer. It's not always what you wanted to want it to be. It's not always what you wanted or envisioned, but if you remain faithful in it, man, I'm telling you, God will get you through it.
Yes.
Don't let other people distract you from what God has called you to build. Don't let other people pull you from what God has called you to press into. Do not let other people remove you from a season that God has called you to endure. Don't let the distractions of the world weigh you down and causing you to throw in the towel. Remain steadfast.
Yes.
Receive the promise. I love this. James 1:12 ESV says this. Blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Man, I'm believing that God has placed you here at Highlight for a reason.
Yes.
He wants to do something new in your life, something new in your heart, but you gotta remain rooted. It's not gonna come after 1, 2, 3, 4, even 5 visits. It just won't. It may not even come for years, but man, he's gonna use it to work it for your good. For me, I've committed my life to serving this church. Why? Because I've experienced good seasons, I've experienced bad seasons, and because I've remained faithful, because I built where I was, because I remained steadfast, it worked out for my good. The same thing can happen for you. Don't jump ship just because life gets hard. That's the perfect time to press in to everything that God has, because God honors your faithfulness. When you remain steadfast, man, it works out for your good. So as we conclude today's message, we're going to land at our favorite verse, the moment we've all been waiting for, Jeremiah 29:11. Go ahead and pull it up, production. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Our final point today, if you're taking notes, point number 3, trust God. And can I be honest? I'll be the first to say that is not the easiest thing to do, but it's what God is calling us to do. That's the answer to that age-old question. What is God's plan for my life? It's to trust Him. It's to remain steadfast. It's to build right where you are, to utilize what He's placed in front of you. And the truth is that the promises that we find in His Word through Jesus, everything will come to pass in our life. What I love about Jeremiah 29 is it leads us back to one simple truth, that as long as we place our trust in the Lord, everything will indeed be all right. You can take on that 17, 18-year-old Chris mindset. I don't know, but it'll all work out. Yes. When you trust God, it really does.
That's so good.
It doesn't mean that life won't get difficult at times, because I'm telling you, it's meant to. But that God is in control in every situation. I love the worship song we just came out of. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because we trust the Lord. Israelites were in 70 years of captivity, but they trusted God. I love what Jesus tells His disciples in their season of struggle. We're going to be in Matthew 6, because I believe what God is trying to do this morning is Jesus is extending this to you as well. We're going to be in Matthew 6, verse 25. It says this: "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life." This is Jesus speaking, red letters. "Whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but doesn't your heavenly Father still feed them?
Yes.
And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Jumping to verse 31. "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs." This is my life verse. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." What is Jesus saying to us? That our job is not to worry. It's to trust. It's to focus on what God has placed in front of us, to get to know Him better, to grow in community with one another, to build and make a difference in His kingdom, to not allow the problems of life to deter us or distract us, but to remain steadfast. Keeping our eyes on the promises of God, focusing on that "but then." But most importantly, it's to place our faith in Him, believing that He is in control. He works all things out for our good. Look, it may not be where we want to be, but it's where God has placed us. It's where God has called us. And based upon this text, our job is not to worry about why. It's to trust that it'll work out for my good. So I ask you this morning, what next step do you need to take? Maybe it is giving your life to Jesus, to letting Him take control, to start trusting Him. I know you're looking at your current situation and it's not maybe where you want to be, but the first thing you can do to change that is to trust the Lord.
That's right.
Watch how he shifts things. Maybe it's getting plugged into a light group to actually start to do community with others, to start growing roots, to not remain a foreigner in exile, but to find true meaning here at Highlight. Maybe it's becoming a superhero by building the kingdom of God and providing a space for others to embrace and encounter the same truth you're hearing this morning, that God loves you. You can do that here at Highlight Church. No matter what it is, I encourage you, please take that step, because the plan of God for your life, it's sitting right in front of you. All you have to do is trust him, remain steadfast, and build right where you are. Church, if you're thankful for the word of God this morning, we can give it a round of applause. Thank you, God.